The Gabcast, a podcast about Belgab.com. To be a part of tonight's show, call 602-399-7131. Visit UFOship.com for live streaming and chat.
Hey, everybody. It's a Gabcast. I'm Eddie Dean. Tonight we have Jazzmunda, B-Dub, and Onan with us. If you'd like to be part of the show, the number is 602-399-7131.
How's it going, everybody?
Hi. Guys.
Hello.
Oh, I forgot to mention, we have MV with us tonight as well.
Son of a bitch.
Our boss. So we're all on our best behavior tonight.
Right.
Don't you guys screw this up.
The pressure's on now.
This being a job that you're paid nothing to do. So, yes.
Perfect.
Wait, we're not getting paid? I'll see you guys later.
The memo has gone out. I don't know what more to do.
We're not going to get shares in the website.
Shares of what?
We'll formulate a policy. Just talk to me later.
We're going public at the end of the year.
So I am completely and totally depressed today. Of course, my team is the Broncos, and they got embarrassed, completely dominated yesterday in the Super Bowl. Did you guys, any of you guys watch the game?
I just watched the commercials.
Nobody watched it.
I came in at like 20 seconds before the end of the first half and saw that Denver was down 22 and thought, oh, this game's over. Yeah, and that was pretty much all of it.
It was really shocking. Number one offense against the number one defense, and the defense.
And they were both on the Seattle team.
Yeah, well.
So what wound up being victorious? Was it the offense or the defense? Because I'm so oblivious.
It was the defense. Seattle's defense completely shut down the Broncos' offense. And the Broncos' offense had the number one scoring offense this season in the NFL.
So could this be extended to, say, some sort of a life philosophy that says it's better to be defensive than offensive?
For me, it's better to not get personally and emotionally involved in a bunch of fucking guys playing a game. I think
that I agree.
Words of wisdom there.
I just can't relate to it. I just can't imagine a world in which I give a shit about professional sports.
I can't believe they got, what, how many people were in that stadium?
There was 82,000, I believe.
And the cheap seats were $600 a pop.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind that the NFL is a non-profit.
Yeah,
right.
They're communist
socialist. Is that sarcasm?
No,
no, it is. It's a non-profit.
But wait a minute. It's revenue sharing as well.
Yeah. So it's sort of like the Red Cross is non-profit, but Elizabeth Dole was making like almost $400,000 a year when she was working.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she's not profiting. She's non-profiting.
And the NFL, well, almost all football teams are also funded through our taxes, too.
Are they really?
Yeah.
That seems kind of wrong.
Yeah. Well, every stadium that's built, we pay for.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for Green Bay. Green Bay is owned by the community.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well,
they're the one
except. I guess they're okay then.
The only reason anyone knows that is because any Green Bay Packer fan in your life will not shut up about that fact. If you just say the word green, they're like, yeah, Green Bay Packers, yeah, it's team-owned, or it's fan-owned. Why?
We're cheeseheads. Go cheeheads!
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Stupid fucking mascot. Go ahead, Jazz. Sorry.
Isn't the stadium made out of cheese?
It is.
No, it's a cheese byproduct, but either way, it's equally absurd. I agree.
And bratwurst as well, I believe. Those are in the foundations. They drive those into the ground, the bratwurst, and then they build cheese on top of that for the stadium.
Are they the guys that wear the cheese on their head?
Yeah, they're called the cheeseheads.
Yeah.
The dumbest and the dumbest mascot or whatever you want to call it for a team I've ever seen.
The most delicious mascot.
The most awesome ever.
You know
what
something?
Type of cheese?
It doesn't matter what type. They make it all up there, but I was going to say, I've been to every state in this country and every major city in this country in my 34 years. And I've said this on my own podcast. Without exception, the meanest people in the country always the Upper Northwest, Michigan, Detroit. Michigan, Wisconsin. What's the other state up there? Minnesota, to a lesser degree. You hear people talk about Minnesota nice.
Oh, Minnesota, sure.
It's just the meanest, angriest, most spiteful people ever that I ever encountered in any of my travels, all from the Upper Midwest. So that's why if I were a sports fan, I would have a natural predisposition to root against Green Bay.
See, all I know about the Upper Midwest is what I've learned from the movie Fargo. So they seem kind of nice.
I think it's just the side effect of like chronic unmitigated boredom from being trapped inside for like 4, 5, 6 months a year.
That's probably got to have something to do with it. I mean, that has to have a cultural effect.
Yeah.
I found the meanest people to be in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, but that's me. Yeah, I thought that they were hate-filled beyond reproach, but...
Nicest people I ever encountered? Consistently. The Bronx.
Really?
If that's not the definition of irony, I mean, if that's not just, wow, really?
I think Unscreened Caller lives in the Bronx, doesn't she? Or is that Queens?
She lives in the Bronx, or Bronx. Brooklyn, maybe.
Huh.
Brooklyn. I'm going to say Brooklyn.
So how can we spin this loss into a conspiracy theory?
It is a conspiracy theory. I think they threw the game. I think two or three on the offensive line of Denver said, I know how to get a bigger paycheck. And that's throw the game. I believe that nobody plays that badly in a Super Bowl game.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far. I think that the stage was just too big for him. The rookies or the people that haven't been in that type of situation where everything is dissected and nitpicked for 2 weeks before the game, once they got to the field, I think that they were nervous and they couldn't shake it. Things went wrong right from the beginning, and they couldn't shake it.
So basically what you're saying is they don't play any differently than a high school team.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Plus, I have to give props to the Seattle defense.
I think my conspiracy theory makes better sense than yours.
Probably. I would agree with that. You guys want to talk about what's happening in the forum? Or what has happened in the forum?
What's been happening? I haven't been
there for a
while.
I know I don't.
You don't? I haven't even been reading the forum lately.
I've been gone for a week. And I missed some of it, to be honest with you.
How was that for you? Was it hard to stay away? Or did you not stay away? Or did you just
I lurked
post?
A couple of times, I'll be honest. But... I felt like a real shit after one of my last posts, and I just thought, you know.
Dude, do you think you're unique in that regard? Do you have any idea how much crap I have posted on that forum over the course of 6 years that I utterly and completely regret, and that the only reason I don't remove it is because if someone came to me and said, hey, could you go back and remove my posts from 4 years ago? I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, so just to not be completely a dishonest douche, that's why I don't go back and remove some of that stuff. But man, I'm embarrassed by a lot of stuff I posted a long time ago. I'm such a different person. I mean, I'm 34 now, so I guess you change a lot in 6 years.
You've grown so much.
I'm a better man.
Yeah, I don't know any way to say this without, you know, so I'm just going to put the ass hat on and just wear it.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I think there's something wrong with Falky. I don't know how else to say it. But that being said, God damn, it got hard to read some posts.
You're trying to be too diplomatic in the course of explaining what it is you want to say. I mean, the cat's out of the bag, so just let it rip. I don't.
Yeah, in what regard, Onan, do you think that there's something wrong with him? What do you mean? Can you expound upon that a little bit?
Well, Jesus, I mean, some of it's just self-evident. I mean, how many here would go on and on about a car wreck? I mean, and it was really kind of a minimal car wreck. I mean, nobody was injured.
Yeah.
I think the car was parked when it was damaged. I mean.
And he just went on and on and on about stories that didn't relate to anything but himself. He would just run his mouth about shit that happened to him that was totally fucking uninteresting.
Yeah.
It was just me, fuck him.
All that being said, I didn't really care till it started getting about his podcast, and I was like, "Man, who's fronting all your goddamn PR here. You know, this is all going on through a forum that's got nothing to do with your podcast, and you're just dominating it. And then what made it even worse was, you know, I tried to give Falky the benefit of the doubt, thinking, well, you know, okay, no two people are the same, and yada, yada, yada. So then a couple other people came out on the forum and just started being kind of unmerciless in their unrelenting, I guess is the word I want, on their criticisms. And it just put a really bad
feeling. More than a couple.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there seemed to be five or six.
Anyway.
Well, if you spread it out over time, it's definitely more.
Yeah.
You guys, I mean, you can't possibly know the amount of shit that I removed from that forum, both in the form of posts and people who were shit, over the course of the last 6 months in order to A, protect Falky, or B, just protect the overall tone of the place. I mean, there were a lot of people who just were magnetically drawn toward the fact that he was there. Yeah. People who didn't necessarily have anyone's best interests at heart. It was just sport.
And that kind of confused me because I kept thinking, what is it about him that anybody's really interested in? Because his podcast isn't very interesting. Well, it's just not interesting. His speaking style is hard to listen to. And he's really not that I am. Forgive me for you know, I don't mean to say that I'm some professional speaker, because I'm certainly not.
No, we're very impressed.
Yes.
Continue.
But his delivery was so good. God, I just wanted to gouge my eyes out. And yet, he was building some sort of following, and I was like, I don't get this at all.
Falky, you know, talk pretty one day.
Say that again.
Yeah. Falky will talk pretty one day.
Yeah.
I was right. I'm right there with you, man. He would post everywhere and nothing related to what the topic was about, and it was just horrible.
Someone's got a microphone that sounds like it's being beaten with a pillow.
I think that's Jasmunda.
I'm not touching.
Fucking Australian.
fap.
He's doing things to that microphone that we do not want to know about. The keyboard is now ruined. Okay, well, go ahead. Tell us, Jazz, what were you doing to the mic?
Fluid damage won't harm the mic as long as it's not plugged in at the time.
I wasn't doing anything. With the whole Falky thing, I don't think I ever could got past about 5 minutes of any of his videos. But I thought, not even that much, I don't think, but I thought the meanness that, you know, that was dished out to him was, you know, it got a bit too much. And at first I didn't agree with MV getting rid of him and not the flies that followed him, but now I sort of agree that he did have to go.
Better say.
But yes, but also I think the flies had to go as well.
Which I think, MV, you did take care of that, yeah. Right?
I mean, look, I'm sure if I bumped into Falky in real life, just being a human being walking around on this planet, I would probably enjoy his presence and I would probably converse with him for an extended period of time, so long as he doesn't yell at me for cutting him off. but in the context of an internet message board, I mean, look, it just doesn't work. I mean, when you have someone who has put themselves out there to that degree, using the same username from forum to forum,
yeah,
revealing sometimes less than flattering personal information about himself, essentially generating a cadre of detractors and trolls and stalkers, quasi-stalkers who just follow him everywhere, Belgab being the latest dumping ground, that just, at some point, you have to say to yourself, you know, just removing the human element from all of this. Yeah, we realize Falky's a guy. We realize he should have his say. We realize la-di-di-di-di-di-di. But at some point, the forum's a business, and when it becomes a shithole to read or post in, something's got to be done about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I completely agree with you.
The whole mood.
I think a lot of people get confused and think because most of the dialogue is unmoderated, even on the forums, even on the threads where there's a suggestion of moderation, there's a lot of free form and free conversation that people get to say pretty much whatever they want. So there gets to be this false idea that they can say anything they want wherever, whenever, and how often they want. And that's, it's, you know, the bottom line is it's your forum. And you do get to make the decisions. And if people don't like that,
I really hate it when people say that to me.
Well, I know, but it's...
My ball bag tuckers up, and it just sort of...
I know, well, but
here,
it's true.
Let me give you a broomstick so you can use it.
I'm sorry to speak that way. This isn't a dirty show. I'm sorry. My apologies.
The point is, though, at some point, it is yours. And if I want to start doing an owning podcast, and I should start figuring that I got to spend my own dime to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even really know that I see it like, yeah, he should have found another way to promote his podcast. I mean, I feel like it was a much bigger picture than that because we have so many other people promoting whatever they're promoting. And as long as they're real human beings.
Not to the extent. Come on.
Well, that's true. Well, but I don't even mind the extent.
Have some certain amount of self-moderation, realizing that they are in someone else's home. And so they're going to take their shoes off before they walk across the carpet. That wasn't the case with Falky. Falky said, hey, I can do whatever I want here. I'm going to walk across your couch with my shoes on.
Well, let me say this about Falky. There were several times that he was doing things in the way he posted that I privately contacted him about. For instance, whenever he wanted to talk about an article he'd read somewhere, he would copy the entire webpage by just doing like a control on his keyboard, and then he would go to the graphical user interface of Belgab, click inside the box where you type and do a control V and submit, and then just leave that there for someone to digest. And I had enough of that. And I contacted it. So my point is, these little things that he was doing that we could all say were gnats flying around our heads as readers, he was very gracious in trying to accommodate what it was I wanted him to do or not do. He never told me, hey, go fuck yourself. I'll post however I want.
Zizek just posted a reference to Dave Chappelle. Fuck your couch, nigga. Fuck your couch. If you're not a Chappelle fan, you're going to miss it. If you are, you're going to get it.
He was always really gracious about that. He never acted like in the background, like if I said something to him of that nature, he wouldn't act persecuted, or he wouldn't storm off the forum and then not post for 6 months like a lot of people. I mean, I've had people who had a conversation with me in private, and then they'd go on the forum and... begin relaying the things that I said to them in private, publicly on the forum, and then I would say something else to them in private, like, hey, dude, what gives? I mean, I didn't intend for you to go out and immediately use what I said to you publicly for everybody to read, and then this person snots off for 6 months and you don't hear from them. Oh, because they got butt hurt. Falky never did that. If I had a problem with him or anything he was doing, I could talk to him privately, and he would accommodate me. So my point in saying that is to point out to everybody that he wasn't banned because he necessarily, at least in my view, did anything explicitly wrong, per se. It was just the environment that was developing as a result of his presence. And I'm sorry about that. A couple of things that always really bother me are when people see a moderation decision that has to be made and they proclaim this the result of some sort of a click philosophy, or proclaim it to be nothing but a capricious and arbitrary decision on my part. Well, thing you got to understand is I don't have the time in the day to sit down and write out a rule book to explicitly articulate every conceivable scenario that may arise in the course of running a message board. So just running it is inherently going to be comprised of a slice of arbitrary and capricious decision-making. There's no way around it. I can't possibly accommodate all that. I don't really give a shit to. Why should my life have to be that hard? Fuck you if you think it should be.
Yeah, I noticed that terms of service has gotten a lot smaller since I've been there.
And the reason why is because people were using the terms of service not for the purpose of determining what it is maybe they should or shouldn't do on the forum, but instead to hang me.
Yeah, to try and catch you out.
Yes, anytime I make a decision about how something needs to go left, right, up, or down. And I just got tired of that. So if you're going to accuse me of being capricious and arbitrary, which I explicitly try not to be, then I'm just going to eliminate the rules that are being used to hang me. It sucks running a message board, man.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to do it.
I'm glad you do it nonetheless.
Feel sorry for me. It really does. So, I mean, although I will say the AdSense revenue at times has compensated me quite well for the fact that I am inconvenienced at times by the forum. So it's not a big, long sob story.
When you can buy a Porsche, each and every one of us, then I'll be happy.
Say that again? I didn't hear that, Onan.
Said, when you can afford to buy each and every one of us a Porsche, I'll be happy.
Oh, yeah.
When I can afford to buy each and every one of you a Porsche, I still won't do it.
Yeah.
Yes, you would, should, you bastards.
I would be personally disappointed in that.
I mean, might send you a nice gift bag of some kind.
A mouse pad.
Various scents and oils. A
branded mouse bag.
Frankincense and myrrh.
Okay, so I could pretty myself up and whore myself out for a Porsche. Okay, I see where you're going.
But I just, anyway, you know, I just... I don't really know what more to say about the matter other than I don't have anything personally against
Falcon. It's behind us.
He has a YouTube channel. He has a podcast. He has a podcast website, which I'm sure has some sort of commentary functionality built into it. Just go to Google and type "the guy from Pittsburgh," and there you'll have your Google video results. Easy peasy. You can get right to him. He's not been deprived of his ability to express himself or propagate his message.
If you type in Google, if you type in Belgab, like the fourth or fifth selection down is Falky.
Really?
So,
you know, well, that seems only natural. I mean, he does have a pretty closely tied association with the forum over the course of a year and a half or two.
Well, no, I mean, it's showing his YouTube videos, at least when I punch in Belgab.
Well, he mentions Belgab in the typed comments on his videos a lot, and I think that's just an SEO thing.
You also see Casio. It's like he found Falky and then Casio right underneath him.
But why did people find him so fascinating? Is it just because of the parody
of himself? I think a lot of people just like watching someone make an ass of themselves in public.
A little schadenfreude. Freudian.
Yeah, and a lot of what was masked as sympathy for him and a defense of him was, in fact, a desire to continue to see all of this this train rolling forward. I agree with you there.
It's like a car crash. Like, who doesn't crane their neck around just to, as you're driving by, a wreck?
Eddie, you were the first person to say it, but I'll repeat it. Falky has no idea what a favor was done for him by disabling his account and removing those two threads about him.
Yeah, I noticed you deleted my post too in that regard.
Well, that's because the terms of service thread became the new Falky thread, and yeah. I said enough of this shit too. And
yeah.
I nipped, and your comment happened to be in the midst of all that.
Yeah, I know. I was just giving you a hard time. But yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Don't ever question what I... No, I've got...
Yeah, you absolutely did Falky a huge favor. He doesn't realize that, and I don't know if he ever will. But it's over now. I mean, the people that were writing him and making GIFs and all that shit, they can't do it anymore. Because on his YouTube channel, there's no comments. You cannot comment on his videos. So it's so he can control all the haters, and he can control the people that comment. He can screen them and post the good ones and get rid of the bad ones, and it'll be all good for Falky.
So the fact that he has disabled comments on his own videos must be indicative of the fact that he knows his mere presence on the web attracts a certain approach to posting, if you will, and he wants nothing to do with it. He doesn't want to have to deal with it. Well, welcome to my world. I don't want to have to deal with it.
You should disable all the comments on Belgab.
Well,
and only allow says the ones that, you like.
Something says that might... that's almost like if you go look at the new Fantastic Forum, have you ever noticed how You have to be logged in with an account in order even to see the posts on the forum.
No,
really?
I don't go there, so.
I've never understood that concept.
I mean, can you imagine, like, from a search engine optimization perspective, that's, like, the most horrid thing you could possibly do, because that means Google can't index a single post on that entire forum. I mean, what kind of a brain-dead moron put that together? You're saying kill the comments just sort of made me think of that immediately.
How do new people want to sign up if they can't read what's there?
Yeah, how do I get the flavor of this bowl of soup you're asking me to throw down my gullet?
Yeah.
If you're not going to let me have a taste, you know, I want to see what it is I'm signing up for. How do I know I'm not going to get in there and find out it's actually, oh, this is a gay midget porn site. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm in now.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I misinterpreted. I saw Fantastic Forum and a picture of Art Bell. Now, I never really associated the two with gay midget porn. So my bad.
It's a pro George Norrie site too, isn't it? From what I understand.
I don't know. But I do know that I'm inherently suspicious of any YouTube video where the comments are disabled. I almost immediately will maybe not watch the video. It's just that it flips a switch in my brain when I see a YouTube video where you can't comment.
Yeah, because that's usually a clear indicator that it's shit.
Yeah, there's some reason people are dissatisfied.
Yeah.
I mean, and the person who posted the video doesn't want that to come to light, clearly. So, I don't know.
You know, whatever. And you're begging for constructive criticism. At least that's what I believe Falky was trying to do there at the very end. But when he got it, he wouldn't employ that. He either disregarded it completely or thought, he just didn't employ it from what I saw with his videos or, you know, his long intro.
Oh, that long intro shat me to tears. I usually never even got through that.
I've never seen one of his... I started one once and just immediately turned it off because I was just like, why? Why bother?
Look, I think if he wants to do his videos, he really should make them just 3 or 4 minute little snippets. I mean, there's no one can sit through a 50-minute video.
And people, he's taken the advice of others so many times that clearly you feel like this is the way forward to render more advice.
I gave up. Long ago.
If you want to join in the conversation, tonight, the number is 602-399-7131. What about the click things? Because in one of the threads, somebody was talking about the Belgab click.
Oh, they're delusional.
Look, when you put a bunch of people together in one form or another and they spend a lot of time together in that one form or other, they're gonna maybe know one another more so than someone who just shows up 10 minutes ago.
Right.
And so perhaps there's going to be a little more leeway afforded those people. That's not a click. That's just normal human behavior.
A friendship.
Yeah. And friendship. Yes, I will say that, although I'm cautious to use that word on the...
Yeah, me too.
Online friendship.
Like, well, yeah.
Friendship.
Not sucking each other's dicks here.
Regrettably. When the forum initially started, there were a core group of people who were there, and I used to think of them as friends. I did fall into that mindset, and then as I saw them one by one leave the forum and never utter another word to me or make so much as a peep as to where they are or what happened or, hey, how are things going, that's when I realized, fuck these people. I'm not going to get close to anybody anymore because I've seen too many times how they just sort of aren't there tomorrow, you know?
When it comes to click, it's basically, there's a lot of times we really get along very well, but you pick that one specific topic and we'll go in there and we'll be at each other's throats and it'll be just as acrimonious as, so I don't really see any of us as being loyal to a fault. We're just, we don't like rude behavior. Nobody does. You know, you walk into a bar that's got the same, customers for 10 years and some new guy comes in there and says things should be different. Yeah, nobody's going to like him too much. And that's just common sense. And if you can't figure that out, maybe you need to slow down and start thinking about a few things.
I mean, if Onan goes on the forum tomorrow and freaks out in some crazy way, just fill in the blank, whatever it may be, that's going to be perceived differently by me than if someone who signed up a week ago does the same thing. I'm not going to think like a robot in binary fashion and say, yes, provision 17C of code 43 has been violated, must act now, yes. I'm not going to do that. I'm a human being, and I think. A lot of people go into this accusation of the click thing, and there's a lot of context here that they don't have.
Let me say this, is that there's a lot of people that are in the forum that I really do appreciate their ideas. And my picture of what they're like makes me think that, hey, maybe we are friends. But in the reality, I like you guys a lot, you know, from what I know about your voices. But that being said, it's easy to keep a relationship like this kind of going because you never have to smell my bad breath. You don't know what my farts smell like. You only know what I put forward. So it's kind of easy to do, and it's not really a full-fledged relationship because we only get a few of the ideas. You really don't get to see the other sides of me. So I think it's kind of, I don't want to use the term dangerous, but it's kind of, you know, if most of your friends are on the internet and all you know about them is what they're saying to you on a screen, then you're not really getting a full-fleshed-out version of what a human being is.
And that note, I'd just like to add that I've been bottling my farts, and you guys should expect a UPS shipment any day now.
Hot damn, man.
You know, if I'm aware that you exist, A, and B, I enjoy having these interactions with you, that's all it means. I know you exist, and I enjoy having these interactions with you, but it doesn't mean that, yeah, I rank you up there with the guy that I've known since third grade.
Right, you know? I agree.
It can't.
Agree.
Let's be honest.
Is that why I didn't get a Christmas card this year?
And that's why you also won't be offered a kidney.
That's what I had kids for.
And that's the other thing. See, that's the other thing that just clicked is that I think a lot of you guys, but I'm not about to come on the forum and say, hey, can I borrow $40?
I mean, I would instinctively be a little thrown off by that. Not like I would start viewing you in a negative light. I would just be really surprised by it. I would think something's not right here. Yeah,
There's a connection that's not being hit there. I don't know what it is, but so, as B-Dub says, boundaries. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, you can control what other people know about you on a forum like this. If you have behavioral issues or whatever it is, it seemed like some people just dump everything on the forum and then are surprised that they get shit for it.
Well, it goes both ways. I remember we used to have a poster here who I never really got along with very well, but he was pretty well spoken. His name's Hal 9000. And one day I came on, I opened up the forum, and there's this long post about how his mama just died. And quite honestly, my opinions about Hal were that he didn't really have much depth as far as emotions go. So then we get this long thing about how he misses his mom and just, I don't know.
And how she died in his arms.
Yeah. It was like, really, dude?
It was really left field. I mean, on the one hand, you create and nurture this certain persona. And I mean, just like the about face in terms of his persona, number one. But number two, just the public nature of it. Anyway, even if that hadn't been his persona prior to that, just the public nature of it. I don't know. I'm not saying if something happens to your mom, you shouldn't mention it on a forum publicly. I'm just saying in his case, it was a strange new approach to interacting with people.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Did it continue? Did he continue to post personal things like that?
No.
It's just that one time?
I think so.
If I remember correctly, the story was like he had he'd painted a portrait, and it just happened to be his mother, and it would turn out to be like a to the day, like a 1-year, 2-year anniversary that she had passed or something like that. So it's kind of a weird coincidence.
I missed that one.
Well, yeah. maybe it was another post then.
No, I'm sure you got it right.
I did learn in the course of all of that, though, based on something he told me about his parents' age, and he might have alluded to something about his age in relation to them, led me to believe that he's in his 50s. And I was really struck by that. I thought some of the stuff I saw him doing, the digging up personal information about people and outing them publicly, just hard to believe that would be the behavior of a guy in his 50s.
Yeah.
And so what kind of person would that have to be, you know, if you were to run into him? Clearly a sociopathic personality, a narcissist.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't personally get along with him very well, but I always thought it was odd that a 50-year-old man was bragging that his dad bought him a supercomputer that he could use. And I got to, you know, I was like, what, you still live at home, dude? What? Really? So, oh, well, I didn't mean to make this a dish on Hal, but.
Well, maybe that kind of makes me wonder if anything he told us was true. I don't know.
He was pretty secretive. I'll give you that.
Yeah, the irony that someone would be so secretive yet be so predisposed toward releasing the information of other people. Wow, the irony.
Yeah, I mean, there was one person that he literally posted an aerial map and drew arrows as to where they lived. It was kind of freaky.
You're on the air.
I'm on what? Oh, I'm on man. The air.
It's Aldous Burbank, guys. Everybody. What's up, Aldous?
Hey, I called to talk with you guys. I miss y'all. I don't know why.
Hi, Aldous.
We don't know why either, but we're still here.
Well, it's good to hear you, man.
Yeah, bro. Yes. Is MV around here? Is that him in there, I heard?
He is.
No,
yeah, he's in the box as well. Yeah.
Yeah, we kicked that douchebag out.
Hi, Aldous. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm doing all right tonight for some reason. I heard you in my computer. You all sounded really good. I figured I'd call, you know, to get back to the Super Bowl, you know? That's all.
Are you indirectly saying that we've taken the show in a bad direction?
And he needs to smoke weed to forget about it.
I want to get back to stuff that's important, you know?
Well, I mean, if we don't talk about, I mean, on a show about the forum, though, I mean, if we don't talk about this stuff, you know, what are we going to talk about?
Actually, I feel like I effed up now because I was enjoying hearing you guys, and now I'm just fucking talking. So I think I'll go home now.
Okay, goodbye.
Hey, before you do.
Right. Yeah, what?
That reference you gave me, the buddy in Bisbee, he contacted me.
Good.
So the drugs will be coming regularly now.
Yeah, and they're good. And I'll tell you what, he reminds me more of you than probably any other person I know, if that makes sense. It doesn't to me.
I feel sorry for the guy.
He's pretty cool. He's got that Midwestern meanness and the sensibility. It's a good package.
So, Aldous, what
okay,
do you...
Okay, good. Midwestern meanness and... What was the
sensibility.
Other
thing?
Sensibility,
but I could be making that up. I'm not sure.
So he knows exactly how far to stick the knife in, is what you're saying. Wonderful.
Yeah. You know, by the way, it's kind of an interesting subject. My buddy is a real cowboy. I mean, they still exist, guys. And sometimes, you know, in my case, it's a bicycle, but sometimes a horse can really help a guy straighten their ass out.
Hey,
more than one way.
If you haven't been around horses, you need to, because they will give you a perspective on life that everyone needs.
Oh man, they can actually save people's lives. I am not kidding. Very
well, they will kill your ass too. Don't make them any idyllic. I've had a couple of friends have their legs broken by horses that rode them into a fence. So,
well, it's kind of like surfing that way, you know. It kind of is like surfing.
Yeah.
My mom owns several horses. I can't even touch them. If I touch them and then I, let's say, touch my arm, I start breaking out in red splotches and shit everywhere where I touched myself. That's the only allergy that I even am aware I have. Just horses and nothing else. I'm fine.
I think that's because you never got a pony. Huh?
Well, I was always upset that I didn't have a pony, so now...
That's what I'm saying, bro. Exactly. I think we've... Your allergies may be over now that you've looked at yourself in the mirror.
I would like to know how many problems in my life could be addressed by saying to me, well, you never had a pony.
At least one.
At least a few. That tussle
I'm
and frisco.
I'm this because I'm going right to the gutter if I go this way. So we're
that tussle and frisco. I never had a pony.
I'm feeling like Jazz and Eddie are spying on us, guys. What's going on?
What do you think about this whole Falky thing, man?
Well, like I say, Falky is exactly himself, and that's what I like about Falky. Some of the other stuff I don't like, even though it's smart, because it gives you no indication of who the dude is who's playing the dude. And Falky, you don't even have to think about it. That's the dude. I love that, man. Naked.
Did you ever?
Immaculate.
Did you ever meet up with a guy?
You know, we got close and missed the train station by a few minutes each time, literally. But it was fun to try to catch him, and I'm still going to do it when I get back down that way. But my life is even more ridiculous than Falky, so it's kind of hard to plan these things sometimes.
When I heard that there was some potential you may visit him, I was wondering, since all of his videos have the mirror image of the room as opposed to it being the way it should be, so everything, I was wondering if you'd like just randomly start bumping into shit in his house because nothing was set up as you expected.
I always had the idea that it really wasn't backwards. It was just so cheap he bought the discounted stuff that was made wrong.
Wow, that's thinking outside the box.
I think Falky should be studied.
Who says he
is
hasn't
everybody's...
That's not me. I don't know what that is.
Hey, Jazz, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, we lost you there for a second.
Yeah, no,
we can hear you typing. You're noisy tonight,
I'm
man.
Clicky.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
You've got the automatic microphone turned on in Skype, Jazz. I think you need to turn that off.
He's got. I think it self-adjusted though. You mean the audio MV?
Yeah, the automatic microphone volume.
Oh yeah.
How would I
turn that off?
I hate to interrupt your, we're on the air, right? But check it out. Did you look at the chat a little while ago? The digital pig is on there apologizing, and it actually sounded genuine. So I don't know if I'm just tripping, but I just wanted to say thanks for signing in, dude, whoever you are.
Yeah, I don't know about that guy. It's really hard to nail him down when he's being serious and when he's not being serious.
How can you really know that's him anyway?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's what I
also
said.
Where do you get a name like that, Digital Pig Snuggler?
I've never seen someone who seems so eager just to be rude to people for the sake of being rude. I mean, when I type to people, I typically type to them the way I would speak to them if they were right in front of me. I mean, there are times, I'm sure, I'm not infallible where I haven't been that way, but by and large, that's how I try to be, is just to speak to people online in the way I would if they were right in front of me. And I've never seen an instance where someone seems so hell-bent on just being mean for the sake of being mean to people.
That's for sure. You know what I do? My general rule of thumb, I speak to people as if I'm passing them a joint. That goes pretty well.
Yeah.
In what universe wouldn't it go well? I mean, I just don't see the upside to being that way. I view life as a series of paths, some of which are the path of least resistance, others aren't. And trying to be cool to people, maybe not succeeding all the time, but at least trying, I find to be the path of least resistance for sure.
Well, at the same time, my other rule number two, if rule number one doesn't work, is if somebody's going to be a dick, I'll be a bigger dick.
Well, as Eddie Dean and B-Dub have said in previous shows, that something we all get... are affected by is when we read something that somebody else has posted, we put our voice to it, and what their tone was, as opposed to how we read it, might be two entirely different things.
Did I say that? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm smart.
Yeah, you can be smart sometimes.
Wow. Sometimes you're very accidentally profound. It's
that's how it usually works for me.
It's disturbing.
Please go on and tell me how good I am.
You are great, man. You truly are. The sun rises and sets on your technical abilities.
And you live in Arizona.
That's right.
Hey, Aldous, I was wondering, a while back, maybe a year or two ago, probably closer to a year ago, you posted a picture on the forum, and it was of a desert landscape. You were among some trees, but just beyond the trees, I could see this vast expanse of mountainous desert. It just looked like such an awesome place to be. Is that your land?
No, that is where I grew up.
Well, that's disappointing.
Because that is back in eight. Oh, I got you. Wait, hang on a second. I know what you're talking about.
It was a pretty recent picture.
That is actually my land. You are correct.
Oh, okay. Well, that looks like such an I love the Southwest so much.
If it's the Southwest, then it's not my land because I'm currently in Northern California. Okay,
well, next question.
I'm confused.
Here's something never translates to in Arizona. When you see a pretty horizon, what you need to add is 115 degree temperature.
But it's a dry heat.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Dry heat. It's just
dry
as hot.
Heat. Yeah, like an oven's dry heat.
Yeah.
It'll still burn your ass.
Go ahead, Jazz. What'd you say?
I just said your balls still sweat.
Yeah, they do. You know, there's lots of baby powdering your balls when you live in Phoenix.
Well, listen, guys, I don't know about you, but here's the way I like to live, okay? The reason I love the desert, think about it for a second, you can live naked. All right.
So what do you do naked? Do you do like yard work naked? Seriously, do you? Let me open up to you just a smidge, if I may. I have firmly believed all of my life that if I had enough land, let's say 765 acres, just to pick a nice round number, at the center of which is the home that I live in, I'm surrounded by nothingness. There's nobody, there's nothing. I would go outside and do yard work naked. Why in the hell wouldn't you? What's wrong with you?
Because of lawnmower shrapnel, dude.
Well, I didn't mean necessarily lawn mowing. I may draw the line there, but maybe some light weed eating.
Well, no, that's even worse.
Stay away from power tools. Smoking, you mean, but...
leaf blowing could be fun, too, if you think about it. But, you know, I have lived for about 6 months at a time, pretty much in the same pair of old jeans cutoffs. And work boots, okay? And I get the tan lines, you know? My feet are white, my ass is white, and everything else is, you know, approaching, you know, dark coffee. So it's a little weird looking, but it's a nice lifestyle.
I'm trying not to imagine you in a pair of Daisy Dukes right now.
baby Dukes.
My whole life, I've wanted nothing more than to have an opportunity to be completely naked outside. It's never happened for me.
Well, you can go to nudist camps, dude.
I don't mean like structured nudity. I just mean incidental nudity.
I hate structured nudity, man. My friends will tell you, okay? If there's like hippie naked freaks, all right, I'm the first one to like mace the place. Okay? I don't roll that way. But
you would like to go outside your back door. Just let your boys hang, you know? No problem. Well, nobody's there.
Rule number 2.5 in the Burbank handbook is if you can't pee freely out your front or back door, it's not worth living there.
Yikes. That sounds painful.
You also may have no internet if you're able to pee freely out your front door, and that's a deal breaker for me anywhere I live.
I have one word that stops me from being naked in the desert. That's Cholla.
Yeah, jumping cactus. Those things jump.
Scorpion. Wait a minute. Run that by me again. What was the word?
Cholla.
I don't know what that is. What is it?
It's a cactus.
It is deadly fucking cactus, man. I swear to God, those needles will hunt you down.
Yeah,
it's like they've got a tracking device on them.
They're configured.
If you walk within 5 feet, damn, they got you.
Well, thank you for that thorough explanation. I've got no further questions.
It is the most painful cactus you can possibly imagine.
Is it like, what's so, I mean, someone said it's a jumping cactus. What do you mean?
Well, it really doesn't jump, but it's if you look at a Cholla branch, it looks so soft and delicate. And then but those are all tiny little spines that will drive themselves a half an inch into your skin and hurt like the dickens. And you are not going to get one or two, you're going to get 100 of them.
Wow. Well, the thing about Cholla is cacti have all different spines. You're talking my shop now, okay? And Cholla have this weird thing where if you look under a magnifying glass, you'll see they have barbs on the end. Yeah. So when Cholla hook in you, the natural built-in tensile strength of the limb structure on the plant will cast them in different directions. And guess what? You have more barbs in you all of a sudden. And you try to get those out, and there's going to be some other barbs waiting to go in somewhere else. Well, they're real hard to pull out. And our trick, you know, down there is you use mesquite limbs and or a comb. A comb, if you have a comb, is the way to go because you can pull them straight out and you don't get all the other barbs going around on you. It's messed up.
The best removal I've heard is using wax from waxing and rip them out the same way you would hair.
That's for the glaucids. That's the little tiny furry things that grow on the paddle cactus a lot. Now, those are the shit. Because at least a Cholla, when that spine is in you, you can pull it out. You know right where it is because it's a big old one.
Yeah, you can see
it. When you get the tiny glaucids in you, they're more like hair. And they'll get in you by the thousands, and that is like a hopeless thing with tweezers.
Let's listen to this guy jumping into a Cholla plant.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Hey, guys, I'm Jeff and Bill. First, we gave you cactus hand grab, and now I present to you cactus body slam.
Oh, God.
He's doing a little Three punching.
Oh, my leg's over. My leg's over. Zach, help me now. Help me now.
Ah. Oh, my God.
Oh. Oh, my. Hey, that looks
can we
so
post the link to that in the chat, please? Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, my.
What is that, a pterodactyl?
Anybody ever seen Deliverance?
Oh, yeah. God, it's like,
That's a thousand times worse.
It's so bad.
Why would someone do that to themselves?
Dude.
Enough of
is
that.
Is that Falky?
Jesus.
Is that Falky in that video?
My God, there's... Oh, my.
That guy sounded like he was a Australian, too.
My God, what are these...
British.
Is he British?
These people just trying to come up with the next Jackass TV show.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. This looks so... Oh, boy, that looks bad.
Now
there's blood. Oh,
I guess
why
we don't,
it looks bad?
Because we don't want to post that in the... are we going to post the link in the chat room?
Yeah, I'll post it. But I don't know if that's a Cholla plant. It's just a guy jumping into a cactus. Here, I'm going to post it into the Skype window, and then because I don't have the chat room open. There you go. You guys can take care of that.
I don't even know how to do that. Jazz, you know how to do that?
Yeah. Do you see the... Yeah, there you go.
Yep, yeah.
He's on.
So, you know, guys, coming from the desert, I'll give you a tip. You never want to jump into a cactus, okay?
Yeah,
but
that seemed very
but at smart. The same time, there is a thing about letting a cactus jump into you. That could be good.
Elaborate, please.
No, thanks.
Was that like a peyote reference?
This riddle brought to you by Barbasol.
What an idiot.
Yeah, isn't that horrible? Isn't that horrible? It's just incomprehensible to me. I see so many videos like that on YouTube, a lot of them being fail videos, and it's just so clear. Mm-hmm. All right, we get it. You want to be the next Jackass. A bunch
He's
of guys.
Shirt.
Their little group getting together. Yeah,
oh,
we're going to hurt ourselves a little. Isn't it bad?
Well, isn't that kind of what we're doing on the podcast?
I don't know. I stopped paying attention about 20 minutes ago.
Oh, man.
Are we supposed to pay attention?
I think you should
play some banjo music, Eddie. Got a banjo, Andy?
Hey.
I got a ukulele.
I
got
to tell you something. If it came down to jumping in a cactus or having to do the deliverance thing, I'd take the deliverance thing.
Yeah, you know what? I think I could. I don't know, man. maybe we're saying a little something about ourselves here, but I think I'd pass on the cactus. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I mean, there is enough prepping that can be done to make it at least a little less painful.
Yeah.
Those cacti needles, made some serious penetration. It wasn't like they just...
It was enough. It could have killed him.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. Yeah, it's...
Well, some of those are going in as much as 2 inches.
Yeah.
But are they
You're talking vital organs.
Yeah, he could have punctured along or something.
Cacti can be fatal because, you know, again, being from the desert, there's a few stories of one in particular. Some doofus out there in the desert using a saguaro cactus for target practice with a shotgun, right? All right. So it's like That's exactly right. Thank you. Yeah, And how's that? That's pretty good, right? I mean, you got to appreciate that. But there's this other one where a poor dude was hang gliding somewhere down in Cochise County. And not hang gliding, gliding. You know, one of those glider planes that gets towed and then glides down. So he's gliding down. He's landing down there. And he accidentally just slightly clips the saguaro next to the runway. And that, of course, causes the plane to circle around the saguaro. And that thing comes down right on the cockpit, kills him.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Those things are several hundred pounds, aren't they? Even maybe a thousand?
No, they're actually many tons because they actually are many tons depending on the limb that comes down on you.
And how much water there's in, too.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. They're severely big and heavy. Yeah.
That's what she said.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah, he stole my line.
Good one.
Wow. 1 hour to a dick joke, or did we have one earlier?
Sure. We've had many.
Yeah, I think Jazz mentioned balls earlier or something.
Super balls.
Of course. I was just going to say that I had a bit of I went to the movies the other night with my wife, and we saw a movie that I had like no interest in seeing, but I've chosen the last few movies that we've been to, so I let my wife choose this one, and we saw this movie. We're an equal opportunity household, so anyway, we were going to see this movie called Philomena, and I knew nothing about it except that it's nominated for an Oscar and it stars Judi Dench. And, like, to be honest, I didn't really want to be there, but I'm not going to complain because I once took my wife to see 2001 A Space Odyssey. And, let's just say that, do you know how many bloody chick flicks I've had to sit through because as a result of that? I wasn't going to complain. So anyway, we take our seats and we're in this small movie theater, and we went to see a 6:30 session, which, when you go to see a movie at 6:30 p.m., the average age is about 75 years old. And that's factoring in the fact that my wife and I probably brought the average age down. So we're sitting in this theater and like all of a sudden I get this like horrible feeling in my stomach, like there's about 1,000 knives stabbing me from the inside, and like I just know what's going to come later. Like, you know, I've got this fear of like being out and needing to go at the most inopportune times, and like sometimes it gets so bad that I'll even take Imodium before I leave the house. Do you know what Imodium is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just thinking, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And, like, even the trailers haven't started yet. So I turn to my wife and I say to her, you know, I think I've got to go. And she just rolls her eyes at me and says, you know, just go. And then, like, I'm thinking, no, you know what, maybe if I can ride this out, I can, like, just adjust my position. You know, you think, oh, no, I'm in a good position now. I'm right. You know, I was just being a stubborn bastard. And I found a comfortable position. And as long as I wasn't going to move, then, you know, that's fine. And it was at that point that I sort of decided, you know, I'm not going to eat any more popcorn because I don't want to create I don't want to need to have to get rid of anything else in my body, so I don't put anything else in. And just then, like, the sound of the commercials comes on, but there's no picture. And this continues into, like, the next ad. And then I notice that everyone's sort of, like, looking back towards the projector room and, you know, noticing that there's no light streaming down. And then, you know, the next ad comes on and still the same, and people begin murmuring, and, you know, a guy a few rows in front gets up and presumably goes to get an usher. And then my wife's sort of, you know, continuing to implore me to like go now. And I was, no, I'm good. I don't feel it as much now. And then, like, finally some pimply-faced usher comes in and he tells us that they're looking into the issue and that when they fix it, they'll go straight into the movie and they'll skip the rest of the pre-show. And, you know, my wife's saying to me, just go. And I'm saying, no, now the movie could start at any time, you know. And I've resigned myself to sit through this movie, even though I don't want to be there. But now I've got the added bonus of having, you know, holding back a flood of, like, butt hurt, literally.
Butt hurt.
So now, like, I'm wishing that they don't get their shit together and that I can finally leave and take care of business. And, like, a few minutes later, a manager comes in and he starts saying, all right, we're going to reboot the whole system and this is the last thing we can do to get it working, and if not, they'll refund our money. So I'm sitting there and I'm sweating bullets and I'm praying that the whole thing just blows up and they can't restart it and then we can get the fuck out of there. And I don't want to tell my wife that have how close I am to actually exploding, because I don't want to give her the satisfaction of an I told you so, you know. Nothing worse than that. And then the manager returns and I'm like sending out telepathically to him to, you know, just end my misery and, you know, tell us that the projector's dead. And as if the guy read my mind, he says, sorry, folks, the bulb has died and there's nothing we can do. We'll refund your money and give you each two free passes. So, you know, now despite my desperate need to go to the toilet, my wife thinks that it's rude of me to want to step over the 80-year-olds in order to rush to the bathroom. And
no, like, you can just push them over, I think. Yeah, well, you don't have to step over them.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I was trying to be nice.
Oh, I'm so...
And do you know how slow 80-year-olds are when they're leaving the theatre and you're just like minutes away from wishing you were wearing the adult diapers that they're probably wearing?
Oh, yeah.
And it's frustrating. Anyway, we get to the box office to get our refunds and I just say to my wife, you know, I've got to go. I have to go. So I leave, and just as I'm about to leave, my wife says to me, give me your phone. And I'm like, no, I need it. You know, and she goes, well, how long do you think you're going to be? And I'm like, what does it matter? We're going to be, you're going to be in line anyway. And she just gives me this death stare that says, like, give me your fucking phone now. And she says, I don't have mine and I want to be able to read something while I wait. So, like the whipped, you know, guy that I am, I hand over my phone and, you know, waddle over to the bathroom. And now I've got this bit of a fear of public restrooms. And, I won't even get started on the cleanliness factor. But I will say that one of the things that I hate about public restrooms is the toilet paper. And whoever thought that it was a good idea to offer one-ply toilet paper.
Yeah, it's like tissue paper.
Yeah, I know. It's see-through, you know.
It's like a very fine sandpaper.
Yeah.
And whoever thought that would be sufficient to do the job. Like, I need a whole roll of this stuff, and that's just to cover the toilet seat.
But they saved at least a dollar for the whole day for that thin toilet paper.
But you end up using so much more of it, so I don't buy that they've saved money on it. It's just, I don't know, it's sadistic.
So Jazz, at this time, by the time you get to this point, are your buttocks actually becoming fatigued from the
clenching?
It's not just the buttocks, it's my stomach. It's like I'm trying to clench my, you know, whatever abs that I do have, which aren't very many. I'm trying to, like, hold them in and, you know, you sort of position yourself in a way that, you know, if I walk this way, I don't know. Anyway, I also hate restrooms because they don't really offer you the privacy that you're going to need when making that type of deposit, you know. And maybe it's my immaturity, because, like, if I'm in a restroom and I'm washing my hands or standing at the urinal and you hear some guy in the stall, you know, going number twos, I just turn into like an 8-year-old girl and get the giggles. And it's probably because of this immaturity that when I'm the poor asshole in the stall, I get the stage frights and, you know, it's very hard to go. So I'm like, I come into this bathroom and there are two guys standing at the faucet and they're just talking. And like, who the fuck, what guys chit-chat in a restroom? You know, this isn't a mother's club, you know. Get out of here and let me take care of my business. So I enter the stall and I'm hoping that they leave and I'm listening out for the sounds of them exiting, and also I'm praying that no one else comes in. And these guys just continue to talk. They're just chatting away there. And I'm like, I've got to go. I'm literally going to explode. Like, I can't hold it in any longer. Like, I just want these guys to leave and get out of here. And I, like, I just... I've got to do something because I've got to cover up the, like, ungodly sounds that they are about to hear.
Oh, that's so, the worst. That's the worst kind, too.
Yeah.
Because it's not solid at all anymore, no, and it's mostly liquid. And
It was going to be all liquid, I'll tell you that. And, like, I came up with this plan that, like, if I positioned myself just right and if I prepared to go but not quite release, and if I was to time this all with military position, your precision, then I could hit the flush button right as I was about to evacuate, you know, thereby covering up the unfortunate sounds. And, you know, the only downside to that is you're going to get some backsplash. And, you know, I just thought, you know, that's going to have to be collateral damage here. And so I just gripped my teeth and I completed the maneuver. It worked like a charm. And as I was doing it, the guys, you know, the guys left, and I was able to finish off. And, you know, what a relief! I can.
Wow.
Just, you know. If there are people in the bathroom when I go to take a shit, I just say something like, "Oh, sweet Jesus, this is going to be a bad one."
I was so embarrassed.
And they run and out.
They're ready to leave. There's no dilly dallying at that point.
Oh goodness.
And, like, I was just sweat. I walk out of the bathroom and I'm, like, dripping with sweat. And I, like, my wife looks at me. She goes, "What the fuck have you just been doing?" Like, I don't think she understood the urgency of what I needed to do. And
did you tell her that you were blowing some guy in there?
That's a good answer.
So, and then, like, I said to her, you know, let's go get something to eat. And she just looks at me and says, "I'm not hungry. I've just eaten half a box of popcorn." But anyway, we got 4 free tickets, and I didn't have to clean up their bathroom. So,
you know, the last time that I went to a movie, I ate popcorn and had a Coke, and I got the squirt something terrible about 2 or 3 hours after that.
It's the oil they use in the popcorn.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like hydrogenated soybean oil. It's fucking death.
It just knocked me out for like 6 hours.
Do not eat that shit.
But I didn't you guys add butter or anything. It was just regular salted popcorn.
They pre-butter that shit.
Do you guys have any restaurants called Crazy Fire?
No.
No.
It's a Mongolian grill or something.
I love Mongolian grills, yeah.
Well, man, what you guys are explaining about popcorn, if I eat one of those, isn't it worth that? I mean, like within seconds, I'm like, I got to find a toilet. So I got to stay away from those places. But yeah, I know the kind of dump you're talking about is where you got to wipe the outside of your cheeks because it sprays so bad.
Maybe we need to be a little bit more selective about our food choices, people.
Well, you see,
that's a good point.
Goodness gracious.
I was going to say something, but I'm going to refrain from that.
Has to be one.
This is a Gabcast, everybody. Aren't we delightful tonight?
Are we talking about bowel habits now? For the love of God.
Do you guys listen to John B. Wells?
No.
Let's pivot to something else.
Hey. I've never listened to
it. I got to say something.
Go ahead.
This show about bowel movements is way more interesting than Coast to Coast, okay? Let's
Thanks, Aldous.
My pain brought you so much joy.
Which Coast guest would we want to bring in to discuss our bowel habit conversation? Would we want to tap Linda Moulton Howe to come in and talk about, you know, your bowel disorder?
She can follow you into the bathroom with her tape recorder.
It would be Whitley Strieber. It would be Whitley Strieber.
Yeah. Yeah,
he would turn it into some kind of like alien planted an explosive device in your ass story or something. Some biohazard.
I think Lionel Fanthorpe, greatest bowel storyteller ever.
Lionel Fanthorpe.
God, George just fawns over that guy too, doesn't he?
Is that the guy that talks about fairies all the time?
Springheel Jack, yeah, is that the guy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up.
I haven't listened to Norian so long, I've kind of forgotten what his delivery is like.
Who, Norries or Fanthorpe?
Norries.
Yeah.
I still hear Fanthorpe. Okay, I think I've got one file with Bell that I listen to occasionally. But.
Oh, absolutely. Next caller.
Oh, speaking of Bell.
Fascinating.
He made a comment the other day on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find what he said. But he still seems to be quite keen to get back. You know, we're 19 months away. But
how many hours and how many days?
haven't minutes, adjusted seconds. Yet. I haven't converted to Australian Standard Time yet.
Oh, I see.
But if he comes back on the 1st of September, then I get him a day before you guys do.
Fucker.
No, wait. Now, actually, how does that work?
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way, yeah, because you're not in the future, even though you're in the future.
Right. Yeah.
Because I tried to get you to give me the lottery numbers, but it didn't work out that way. But go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
I just use the lost lottery numbers each week, and I've never won. He said, seems like time for an update. As many of you know, I left SiriusXM after a short stint because we were having serious problems, pardon the pun, with the streaming service. They refused to offer to allow free streaming until it could be fixed. They promptly replaced Dark Matter with Coast to Coast AM on the same channel. I could speculate here about why that was done, but I will not. I felt that it was not reasonable to ask people to pay $180 a year to try to listen to a stream that so many complained was not working, right? It was not working right, sorry.
So he's just rehashing
everything. That's nothing new. That's all nothing
new. Yeah, it's all rehashing what we all know ad nauseum.
So then he said, at this point, they have come and collected their studio gear and have left. So the stuff's out of there. I've asked to be released from my non-compete many times and they refuse. So I'm wondering if he's asked them since, you know, since the last update we heard from them, but
nobody knows. We don't know.
No one knows. He says, I have my own feelings about what has gone on behind the scenes and why at this point it matters to them. However, it is what it is. So I will wait it out, then start the show that will air for free on the internet. I have a time segment in mind, which I will announce as we get closer to that time. Well, that's 19 months away. So yeah.
Wait, he said he has a time segment in mind. Yeah, he's going to go up against Coast to Coast.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And then he said, I'm willing to give my all every time I crack the mic, but not for a show that has a built-in limit on how large it can grow based on how good it is. So that is where we stand today. Otherwise, the Bell family is happy and well. Many thanks to all of you that have followed this tortured path with me, Art.
Isn't that the truth? Tortured path.
Yes. Yeah. So,
and that kind of ignited the quits thread a little bit, too, in the past couple of days.
Got another few pages. Oh, a page out of it.
Was it? Oh, yeah, one page. Wasn't there a follow-up, too? He had another post on Facebook. Yeah, was that any new information at all, or was that basically rehashing everything we already know?
It was sort of. I'm just trying to find it now. I mean, 200 comments. JC's commented.
Any thoughts about him not posting on Bellgab?
I think he's done with us.
You think?
I think the shine is rubbed off.
We served our purpose.
Yeah. I think he'll come back. If and when the show comes back, he'll probably come back. But
when he has something to promote.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of jaded, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I think he's not going to come back because he's just going to have some haters and, well, the people that love him as well, I guess.
He would have a lot less haters now. Than he did back in November and December.
Well, maybe.
Or maybe they're just waiting in the bushes.
Yeah, but why would he bother posting? I mean, what he was doing when he was posting, it seemed like he was mostly defending himself.
Yeah, and trying to let us know.
I mean, like, why would he come here and post anything except to give us an update about whether or not he's going to do anything? I mean,
it didn't seem like he had an emotional attachment with any.
I actually think that
it was business.
Yeah,
I think it was business.
No, it wasn't just business because he took one guy, Dark Penguin, I think, to task.
Yeah,
and I think he perhaps was embarrassed by what he posted. I think that might be why he's not come back.
Yeah, but and that was his last post too.
Yeah, it was.
Talking.
What did he post?
calling him a dark dipshit or something somebody could really understand?
What basically said, you know,
there was another guy later, Mr. Hankey.
He really did pull the, you know, the give me your address and I'll come beat you up, you know, response. And I was like, wow, this is somebody who fundamentally doesn't understand the internet.
Yeah.
Art did that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't recall that he was asking, or that you tell a guy that he was going to beat his ass.
Condensing it, but yeah, it was pretty much, oh yeah, he said that, he might not have said exactly, I'm going to beat you up, but it might have been a little more veiled, and if somebody said this, then I would do that kind of thing. But it's there. Look up Art Bell's post, you'll see it.
Huh. I'm looking at it now.
I think it was because someone was, talking shit about his wife.
It was.
You know, it's one thing to attack your podcast or whatever, but to start attacking your family is totally another thing.
I don't disagree with that.
But it's the internet, man. Shit like that's going to happen. Here's Art's last post on the site. Mr. Poop is just trying to distract you. He might even be a reincarnation of DP. I'm guessing that's Dark Penguin.
There was a guy, Mr. Hankey, who...
My advice is carry on. Remember, a troll is born every second in America, Art.
Yeah. Go back a couple, and I mean, a couple of them were long-winded, but it's 6-1, half a dozen other. Never mind.
You know, Mr. Hankey kind of flipped out a little bit. I thought he was, I think he let everything, all the circumstances kind of get to him a little bit, because he was railing about trying to get new information about Art in the quits thread, and he was trying to get everybody to change. Basically, and he started getting a lot of blowback from people because he wouldn't let it go. I think that's the problem. If somebody doesn't let something go, if they post once or twice with a particular opinion and then drop it, then you're good. But if you keep beating that dead horse over and over and over again, people are going to start getting tired of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's, I think this is the post you're thinking of, Onan. I am done with dark dipshit. He has proven he's not here to talk about my radio work or anything like it. After making that remark about my wife, I am done talking with or about him unless he wants a face-to-face meeting.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
So that's not exactly what you...
That's close enough.
Well, okay, I might have stretched it a bit, but a face-to-face meeting certainly means, you know... If we get together, we'll have words.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the leeway here, Onan.
Thank you.
So are you guys fans of John B. Wells at all?
Not at all.
Him getting fired from Coast to Coast, does that affect anybody?
Did he get fired?
Yes.
It might be an improvement. Who's taking over? There's more George Knapp, so that's an improvement.
Yeah. I don't know.
Some Syriot guy or something like
Jim,
that?
Richard Syriot?
Yeah.
Morgus posted something that I tend to agree with, but I don't know if he knows anything more than just... He might be just speculating. But he said they're more than likely going to rotate, bring in a different host every Saturday. Just to fill in the Saturday slot. Until they can, in a way, to kind of audition a new host for that slot.
That would make sense. I think I could see them rotating Syriot and Schrader and Knapp and maybe another one. I like Rob Simone. I know some people don't like his manner of speaking when he broadcasts, but he's fine.
See, Or go ahead, Jazz. I don't know.
No, I was just going to say, did someone say that he got fired because his ratings were higher than Norrie's?
I don't know if I believe that. That would be pretty spiteful. Even though maybe Premiere might do that, I don't know.
That's not why he got fired.
No. I think the reason that he got fired was because he was being way too political. He was
way too political, way too... Right wing,
ultra
nut job, ultra like super right wing, like paranoid schizophrenic right wing.
Yeah, I remember one of the very first shows that I listened, where John was a host. He had Stephen Quayle with him, and I'd never heard him before. So I'm like, wow, this guy has an interesting voice, you know, real deep voice and stuff. And then they started going off, you know how Stephen Quayle goes, or talks about giants, and then he's always quoting the Bible and. He's kind of a literalist in that regard. But yeah, I got sick of it pretty quickly. I don't think I even listened to the entire show. And then the next week, he was talking about something political about guns. You know, oh, I'll keep my gun next to me when I'm sleeping and somebody breaks in, I'm going to shoot their ass, you know. Or well,
the most offensive thing that he did was say that a Newtown was a false flag operation. To me, that's grounds for termination right there. He should have been fired on the spot.
Yeah, didn't,
I agree with you.
Isn't that what Alex Jones was spouting to?
Yeah.
Or espousing?
That makes me sick. That makes me angry. And that's why I have no sympathy for that jackass.
Yeah. And they were saying the same shit about the... Go ahead, Onan.
No, that's it. I never listened to him. So I don't know how wacky he was other than what I read on the forum. And if that's anywhere near correct, which I think it is, yeah, he's kind of scary.
I mean, you have to be a sick fucking piece of shit to say something like that. I mean, just to say it in polite company, just to be out somewhere and say something like that. But then they say it on the fucking radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it shows a complete lack of understanding that there are people out there with feelings. You know,
you think
I can
really
sort of understand
it?
Someone going off on, you know, the World Trade Towers because it's a little more distant, but when you say, you know, Newtown was a false flag and you're talking about, what, 20-some children were killed? Wow, that's...
Yeah.
It's not really showing a lot of awareness.
No.
I wonder if he really believes that or if it's just the controversial thing to say.
You know, good question. I don't know. I've got no way to know that.
Speaking about go ahead.
If you're trying to be hip and edgy and attract an audience by saying something like that, what audience are you trying to attract? Like the nut jobs who are constantly buying up ammunition every chance they get because they think that Obama's going
to
take it away from them.
Now you're talking
to
me, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, no, seriously, who are you trying to appeal to with that?
That's exactly who it is the ultra-right Tea Party, the gun hoarders, and the doomsday and the apocalypse believers.
Yeah, I don't want to really go too much political, but, you know, there's always been a faction of people that have not trusted the government. In the 60s, it was the hippies who were saying, you know, the government's, you know, military-industrial complex and the government's not our friend. And it went from being a very liberal thought over the years. It's the old Thermidorian swing. It's now the extreme right that is saying you can't trust the government. And at some point, there's a certain amount of legitimacy to that because you don't ever want to give all your authority and power over to anyone else. But if you go so far as to saying you can't trust anything about the government, what kind of a paranoid world are you living in? Yeah. So, you know, instilling that kind of thought in by saying that this really wasn't a tragedy and it was just somebody trying to get our guns away from us is just it borders on being crazy. I'm done now.
What? What were you?
Exactly. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Was Onan talking again?
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I don't understand. What the fascination is with that, and that world that you live in, where you believe that the government or meteors or you know, floods or tsunamis or any of that shit is going to happen at any second, so you must hoard and buy and shelter and recycle your feces and put it in your garden. You know, I don't know. I don't understand that world.
Well, you know, first of all, there's a lot of facets to it because I consider myself to be pretty damn liberal, but I own lots of guns and I'll probably buy a couple more in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I don't keep one under my pillow. I don't keep them loaded because somebody might be walking down the street. I just like to go out and shoot them, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I just think a lot of people get.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a cousin who's constantly carrying a sidearm of some kind on him, and he lives in a small town America. I mean, what the hell are you afraid of, man? Like, what's going to happen? Like, we'll have Christmas. We'll have, like, Christmas for Thanksgiving. He's packing a gun. Like, really?
Yeah.
Maybe you've seen Die Hard too many times, but clearly you're out of touch with reality.
I have a concealed carry permit, and there are times when I do carry a weapon on me, but not when I'm going out to dinner.
Like when you go to Durham?
Not even when I go to Durham. Quite honestly, I find Durham to be kind of laughable when people talk about how bad it is.
Fayetteville, on the other hand, different story. Fayetteville.
That could be, but luckily I don't have to go down there very often.
Yeah.
But...
Vietnam.
I
mean, people live in this kind of... I don't know. It's real easy to give in to fear and to live in a kind of a fearful way.
On both sides, because the camp that's saying owning guns that can hold 30 bullets is real scary, that's just as fear-mongering as guys over here saying the government's trying to get everything away from me. They're both just trying to manipulate you.
I'm going to disagree, because when you have a semi-automatic pistol, these automatic pistols are practically like machine guns, and if they have like a 30-round clip in it, you can kill a lot of people real fast.
Yeah, but most people don't. I mean, and I think that's something that's lost in this whole translation, is that...
That's true.
People
don't, but like, first of all,
let me just follow this out a bit here.
All right.
If you've got, there's something like 180 million handguns out there, and all of those, well, not all of them, but most of them are automatics, and they can deliver...
Semi-automatics.
Semi-automatics.
Semi-automatics, right.
Deliver from 7 bullets in a short period of time to 30 bullets in a short time. And 99.999% of those people never harm anybody with their weapons. So do you really think it's... this is a question for everybody, but should we make our laws to dumb it down to the bottom equation so that nobody can do, or more people who want to do something can't, because a few would ruin it? I don't know. I don't know what the right answer there is.
I will say that
the Second Amendment is the most expensive right we have, because it costs lives.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I don't make any bones about that. But at the same time, I own a lot of guns. I've owned a lot of guns all my life. I've never committed a crime. Nobody's ever been hurt with one of my weapons. Mm-hmm. So I don't see why I should be punished because there's some crazy wackadoo out there that did something bad.
As a gun enthusiast, what is lost by having a 7-round clip instead of a 30-round clip?
That's an excellent question.
How does that negatively impinge on your ability to enjoy owning a gun?
It's just cool to have a 30-round clip.
Well, okay, but
I think,
I guess the question is since I am responsible, why would you be concerned about whether my clip held 30 or 20? What is the real difference there? Because I guarantee you, I can change clips pretty damn fast. And if you think that it's just speed that is the intent for why someone does something heinous, I think you're missing the point. Because I guarantee you that if somebody wants to go out and kill 30 people and they don't have an AR to do it, they'll find another way to do it. The guy who killed all those people in Texas was using a bolt rifle. You know, it was a single shot. And I think he killed 12 people.
Was that the guy on base?
No, this is the in the 60s. The guy in Texas.
The guy on the top of the bell tower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was Kent State, wasn't it?
No, Kent State was a military thing.
That was totally
thing.
Different.
Oh.
Kent State was where the military went in and shot 2 people.
Yeah, the National Guard shot like 4 students.
That's right.
Yeah, that 2 died.
The guy that climbed the bell tower and started picking people off in Texas, he had actually gone to medical doctors a week before and said, "I am having these thoughts. I can't stop thinking about doing this."
Right. Yeah, he said, "I want to kill my mother-in-law. I want to kill. I can't." And when they did an autopsy, he had a brain tumor.
Yeah, he had a massive brain tumor.
Yeah.
He tried to get help, but couldn't.
Hmm.
Right.
So, I mean, here's my thing. I think that we should have restricted firearms. Clearly, whatever the Founding Fathers intended by the Second Amendment, The technology that existed for manufacturing guns back then isn't anything like what you're able to get now.
I completely agree.
But at this point, there are so many guns out there and so many people with military-style firearms. You would have an easier time disarming Afghanistan or Iraq than you would America. You just wouldn't be able to collect all those weapons that would have been... So
logistically, you know, it would be a nightmare. I completely agree.
Yeah. You could not do it.
There's no way they will do it.
One of the things that, you know, and I don't really want to turn this into a guns forum, but...
Too late.
But the thing is that, okay, automatic
habits.
Many automatic or semi-automatic weapons that we sell in this, that are used in this country, look like military weapons, but it's aesthetics. They really are no different than a Savage semi-automatic that's got, you know, a wooden stock and butt plate. You know, it just.
The assault to butt plate.
Yeah, I said it.
I was trying to think of a funny thing to say with butt plate, but I got nothing.
I'll just go with Beavis and Butthead. That'll work for you every time. But it's just aesthetics, folks. You know, I mean, it was somebody in the 70s came up with the term assault weapon, and it stuck, and it became a political talking point. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a rational debate and discussion about gun ownership. But I think that goes to both sides of the camp. And more people are responsible with their weapons than are not. And I think we lose that in the equation. Because I know I have probably 10 friends that are serious gun owners. And between us, well, there's probably between 150 and 200 guns between us. And none of us have ever done anything threatening to anyone. But because we own a lot of guns, people are like, they're skeptical of us. And I don't understand that. Because if anything, we're more responsible than the person who doesn't own a gun. Okay, I'm done.
Well, so, I mean, my thinking was early on, like, you know, about 20 years ago when I was in college, I was thinking we should just ban weapons. We should make them illegal and get rid of them. But then I realized that's impossible. You can't disarm.
Yeah, you would make a big criminal class here in a hurry if you did that.
Yeah, it just wouldn't happen. It's just not feasible. Then my thinking was incorrect. And then I thought maybe, well, after you graduate from high school, you do a year, 2 years service stint and something not entirely unlike, say, some kind of military National Guard kind of thing where you get like, you know, self-defense training and weapons training and how to handle, you know, a gun safely. And then you do like, you know, a year and a half of like public service in some capacity. And then at the end you get a gun, you know, and basically arm the entire country. And I think all that would do is, and the thinking there is like, say when Gabby Giffords, when that nut job started shooting people, there were people there that were armed and they were going to shoot the shooter.
Right.
But actually what they were doing frequently was aiming at people who were running away.
That's wrong people, yeah. There was actually a story where a guy said, had I fired my weapon, I would have killed an innocent person.
Yep.
I agree. But see, there's another misnomer is that, you know, concealed carry is not about being a law enforcement.
Yeah.
And so if you're in a dangerous situation, you think you're going to pull a weapon and do something effective, you're kidding yourself. The reason for concealed carry is if someone threatens you, there might be that odd time where you might rush to the aid of someone else. But quite honestly, those times are so rare and happen to so few people that if you're getting a concealed carry for the purpose that you think you want to rescue someone else, mm-hmm. you shouldn't have a concealed carry.
Yeah. Well, and George Zimmerman is a perfect example of someone who shouldn't have a gun.
And the phrase is just starting to come out on that man.
He went looking for trouble. and he found it. And now his life is ruined.
Well, think about Trayvon Martin's life.
Well, yeah.
If anybody wants to email Onan or B-Dub and carry on this conversation, the number or the... I don't know. I just think we're getting too far deep into this, don't you guys think?
Do you want to talk about butt hurt some more?
Yeah, I'd rather talk about something else. Let's talk
about butt hurt.
Who's... Jazz, can you mute your mic, bud?
Yeah.
Jazz, was that you that was...
Fap.
Is that what it is?
All the gun talk got me a bit hot.
Oh, there's one other thing, too. If there's any bands out there that want to submit their music so we can play it on the Gabcast for as a music bed or an intro or an outro, you guys can email us at thegabcastemail@gmail.com. Anybody...
Sort of like George Norrie's submerging artist.
No, I mean we just need some different music. If we take a musical break, it would be nice to have different selections that I can use instead of the same thing over and over and over again.
I think we ought to hit up Guild Navigator and the General.
I think the General's using his music in his own podcast, The Fret Files.
Well, let him share. Goddammit.
Open source that shit.
Yeah. Well, if he wants to, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. He's got great music.
I agree. And it's part of the forum. Maybe it's time to pull the reins in for the night.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You guys wouldn't let me in it before, but I think right now is the perfect time.
Well, we needed to get that 20-minute discussion of guns going.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
All right.
I apologize, guys. I truly do.
No, it's cool, man. Thanks to everybody at UFOship.com in the chat room. Thanks to MV for joining us tonight. Thanks to
MV.
Onan
truly.
And Jazzmunda and B-Dub. And thanks to Aldous Burbank for calling in tonight. My name is Eddie Dean, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks,
good night,
people.
Everybody.
Good night.
Gabcast is not legally responsible for your feelings.